Good morning and welcome to Brass Tack Sunday. I'm your host, Corey Lane, producer, technical operator, Ronnie Clark. And it's 11 o'clock in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean. And we are here with the kind compliments of Williams Industries. And what are we talking about today? Today, we are talking about adjusting to the new norm. That's a big term we are hearing every day about adjusting, about the new norm, about how long we would have to face these changes, and if these changes will become what we know to be our normal. So to help us to do that, we have a panel looking at various aspects of change that may be required in the face of COVID-19. What sparked this for me was a number of things. One, observation. As I work with the Household Survival Program, receiving many, many, many calls, speaking to many, many Barbadians out there in need. Some desperate, some hopeless, some, you know, just need help and need it urgently. And one of the things that I recognize is that many people have not come to the realization, have not shifted their mindsets to understand that we are in a crisis, we are in a pandemic. And if this was a war, I've said, and if this was a hurricane season or hurricane had hit, we would adjust because we would see what is happening around us and we would start to adjust, you know, slowly, but we would get there. What I'm seeing is that we are not adjusting because coronavirus is invisible. So a lot of people have not recognized that life has changed and we have to change with it in order to maintain our sanity, our happiness, our peace within. So we had persons had been helped out, and a guy called me just a day after he received some financial help. And he said, hey, I need more because it's all gone. Not adjusting the way that we spend. Hey, wait, I know some people who got care packages and, you know, called the driver and cursed him blind because this is not way accustomed eating. How dare you bring this here? This is an insult. Because, hey, this is not what they're accustomed eating. Apart from the supermarket lines, I remember my friend Maxine and my friend Alva Trotman, they're calling and they're saying, listen, we should do meal planning on the air for people. We should call and do things with persons so that they understand how to look into their cupboards and make meals based on what is in there, or to make a shopping list based on what is not in there. And I say, hey, good ideas. Because people want to go and shop like they shopped before, with less time and less money. So how do we help people to adjust? Many, many parents, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouses and all, now having to be trapped and confined with your significant other for much longer, have to be trapped, and I use the word trapped, with the children, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 children, pulling your hair out. And I asked the question to the teachers, you know, teachers had 20 or 30 a day. You have 1 or 2, you're pulling your hair out. So how do we adjust to homeschooling? You know, schooling via the computer, Google Classroom. How can parents help out? How can parents schedule for children to keep them in kind of like a format, an organized schedule of the day? Some people took offense or didn't understand when I made a statement sometime back, poverty is a state of mind. And why I said that is I remember as far back, you know, I mean, lived in poverty, especially 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then in 9, the circumstances around me didn't change, but my mindset changed. And I said I was no longer in poverty. And I started to do things different. I started to think different. And I believe that that thinking, that changing, that turning of the corner must happen now. Or a lot more people will find themselves in distress every day COVID-19 faces us. We will get more and more anxious, more and more depressed, more and more hopeless as extensions extend and curfews and lockdowns becoming the new way of life. We must adjust our mind. And that is what we are talking about today here on Brass Tack Sunday, where we'll be talking to ICAB's David Simpson. We'll be talking to Selena Dobson. She's a chef, a wife, a you know, a fitness trainer, and I think she fits the whole realm of the economist and the accountant too. You know, I said they qualify as the real economists, no offense to the trained economists. And of course, we're speaking of Stacia Barros, she's been into early education, teaching and so on. I call them education coordinators, not just teachers anymore. I know you have Stacia on the line, we're trying to line up the other two. And of course, we have you in the audience. You're listening today to Rastak Sunday. You know the numbers to call, 434-1790. You know the WhatsApp number as well. It is 266-4862 and 266-IVOB if you're ever tempted to forget. So we get down to Brass Tacks Sunday, but I must let you know this is brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. For business surprise, big or
small, at Williams Metals we have it all. Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipe, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials. For building surprise, big or small, at Williams
Metals we have it all. At Williams Metals we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I think we have Stacia on the line, my education coordinator for this show. I want to say morning and welcome, Stacia.
Morning, Corey. I'm loving your title. Wow.
It comes with no extra money, okay?
Shoot.
There you go, see? Now, to jump right in, as I said in my opening, lots of parents are pulling their hair out. They have that one or two, three, sometimes even four children now to coordinate at home. I know a lot of them have a lot more appreciation for you teachers now. Y'all get lots of bouquets when school finally opens back. I can see it. But what I want to talk about and talk through our audience, those listening at home facing this, some of some tips about how they can manage. But before we get there, I want you to walk our audience through, for you as a teacher, transitioning from physical teaching to online teaching and what that process has been and what it has been like.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me start by saying you said I'm an early educator. I'm guessing you're looking at it from the fact that I teach in primary school. Mm-hmm. The thing is right now is that I'm also, I've taught throughout primary school, and I'm actually now in early childhood education, the infants department. So it sort of makes it a little bit more challenging for me because your pedagogical approach, the way that you actually teach, it changes from class to class. So I like to always have a mixture of styles where I'm the teacher trying to impart knowledge, but I also want my children to bring in their experiences. We may be talking about a dog, and someone may say, I may be speaking about a general dog, but I might have a child who knows everything about Akitas, so he would bring in that knowledge. My issue right now in moving to the electronic teaching platform is that how do I effectively help my children to navigate that space, recognizing that when I'm getting my children to navigate that space, I'm also getting their parents to navigate that space. Because there's no point in time right now where I'm going to expect that a six-year-old is going to be navigating that space on his or her own. And in many cases, speaking from my perspective, the class that I'm teaching, most of these parents do not have that experience under their belt where they can even effectively navigate through using an email account. So it's a totally different learning. It's a totally different learning environment right now for me. So for me, it means that I have to take more of a behaviorist approach where I have to be telling and not receiving all that much information coming back at me, which is a bit of a different space to be in for me.
My thing is, when we discuss the whole online teaching, that is something that didn't come in the forefront. For me, a lot of the talk I've heard in these challenges would have been the household conditions. Mm-hmm. My producer and I, we had a conversation online about that. And also the technology, the available technology. Who has a laptop and who doesn't have a computer? And we always talked about education as a partnership between the schools and the parents, the teachers. And there was always this kind of, you know, confrontational relationship when we discussed it about what the teachers wanted versus what was best for the students and so on. But I always said the parent was the missing link. And that education is really a team sport. And now, you can't miss the PTA meeting, you got to be there every day to be part of this online learning and the computer and so on. I think that is a major challenge, as you said, going forward and something that I'm always glad for programs like these that can bring out these nuances when you connect with the persons on, you know, in the field and on the ground. So I'm very glad that you raised that and the whole issue of parents being able to walk alongside their students as we look at this new normal of teaching for the time being.
Yes, we have to have the parents on board. I am a teacher who loves to have face-to-face interaction with my parents. I like to make sure that if something goes right in the classroom, I'm the person who will take a picture of a child who finally got something done and send it to the parent. I always want the parent to know what's going on in the classroom so that the child also realizes that there is no school rule and home rule, which is always part of an issue I find with primary school students. But this is a totally different learning environment for most of us. And we definitely need the parents on board. But to piggyback on what you were saying, I have students right now in my class who do not have devices. I have a child who has a device but has no real internet connection because even though there's a person in the neighborhood who has internet, who has actually allowed everyone to have the password, the problem is the actual reality is for this child to actually utilize that internet, he has to go and stand up in the middle of the road. Literally, Corey, in the middle of the road. The mother is saying by the time you get to the top step of their house, there's no internet connection. So, and that's not even the worst that's not even the worst of the scenarios. My school has at least 3 students who do not even have electricity. So when you have no electricity, device and internet are further down on the totem pole of your hierarchy of needs. So
as we made these transitions, and again, I said my producer and I, we had this conversation just recently on air, and how do we actually tackle these things? Highlighting it is one thing, and it brings it into sharp reality. Like, I've been working in the area of poverty most of my life. But in this season, as you get deeper into it and as more people in it expands, it really hits home again and again and again how much more we need to do. How much less we need to say, how much more we need to do.
Yes, because this environment now has actually put a magnifying lens on the inequalities of our society.
Correct.
Where we realize that we have the haves, where every child has access to a device, and then we have the have-nots, where they don't even have electricity. And this, you know, the disparity is even more glaring now. We are at a situation where at one point, I know some schools, we had a needs assessment survey that was done quite hurriedly to figure out what was needed by students in order for them to function. One of the things that was suggested was school meals. But then we have to look at what does that mean when we offer school meals. It means that the school has to be open. It means that you have to have security. You have to bring in people to serve. You have to have some place for the children to eat. So then the whole thing is simply, if you do this, then what is the difference between doing that and having school open? It is still a risk. But we do realize that out of all of this, I know that I have some students who may not be having meals. And the one thing you do know is that before you start to do these other things, you have to meet the other basic needs.
I think that these are all issues that we have to find a way to tackle one by one, because I know it was said before, and I think it's experienced now that school meals is all some children get, and with
yes.
school meals out of the way, it becomes a serious factor of how many children are going to bed hungry and going through the day hungry. Something we definitely have to tackle, but that's a whole show by itself.
That's another show by itself.
Okay, we're just joined by Selena Dobson, and she is a chef, among many other things, a blogger, and, you know, she has her own cook show and stuff like that. And what I wanted to do, as I said, when we looked at the whole issue of meal planning or, you know, ideas, recipes, things that you can do, because the whole idea is as we adjust, we need to make life as comfortable and as practical as possible. So we are very, very happy to have her. And let me take this opportunity to say good morning and welcome, Selena.
Good morning, and thank you very much. Yeah, this is probably the first time I've been on the radio as a chef, but thank you very much for having me.
Manuel, thank you for entertaining us and giving of your time to the audience as you walk them through. What I want you to do is start by, you know, being very general, and then we can get specific in terms of some of the tips and different ideas you can share with the audience in terms of meal planning, preparing, using recipes, kind of adjusting to this whole COVID-19 and the new normal.
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, people who know my angle now would know I kind of transitioned a little bit into more wellness. I still cook and so on, but I also manage a fitness business. So I think the first thing that people really need to look at overall is their overall wellness, which includes their nutrition, their mental health, and their movement. And I think that is one of the biggest issues that we have faced in Barbados for a while, but now it has been exacerbated by the whole COVID-19. Because whereas before, a person can still move around a lot more, they can't do that now. But what it does mean is that you do have more time to do things you couldn't do before, such as especially cook. Because, you know, obviously, if you don't cook right now, you're going to have a hard time getting nutritious food to eat. So even though it is in some ways a negative thing, in some ways it is a positive thing in that we can take time now to look into cooking, because personally I believe that cooking is a life skill, and I believe it should be taught in school, not necessarily as a part of home economics is nice, but I think rather than like how in home economics people learn recipes, that maybe what people really need to learn is actual cooking skills, so that like they can apply the skills they have to any recipe. And so for me, when you spoke to me about this whole concept of tips, the first thing that I wanted to express to people was to open your mind to the concept of cooking, because I know Chefette is shut and a lot of people really in pain. Really in pain over it, and no disrespect to Chefette or anything like that, but at the end of the day, even fast food, you can make it at home if you have the skill to do so. So the question then becomes, like, is it a matter of a budget, is it a matter of availability, or is it a matter of you just not wanting to do it? And I think before, especially, we were dealing with more problems with even getting into the supermarkets because everybody was kind of scrambling. But now things have normalized a little bit. You can get ingredients. So for the most part, most of us need to try our hand in the kitchen and to get more focused on, you know, cooking our meals and enjoying it, not only as a necessity, but also as something that you can do that can bring you a level of joy, a level of therapy as we go through these difficult times. Because when you prepare something for yourself and you're proud of it, it gives you a good feeling. And good feelings are something we need to be searching for now that we're going through this hardship.
I think the fact that you bring it from the nutrition angle is even better, because we have persons eating a lot more reportedly because they're home, and you eat because you're bored and you're snacking out and you're buying for 2 weeks and it's lasting 4 days. And I see my producer smiling and shaking his head in the agreement. And you're less active. And there's a lot less to do and get out there. You know, you're taking in all the sugar and so on. I think that we can have a greater health crisis after this as we mix the probably a return of something like COVID and on top of that have all these other issues to deal with from a health perspective. So I think
definitely.
That if we bring it from here, this is where we go. Now, Stacia, as you know, someone to be familiar with these things, I don't need each of y'all to stay in your lane. Usually people stay in the lane here, but it could kind of cross over. I want to jump back to something you were talking about, Stacia, before we go, just as we keep the interaction going online as well. Someone says, I know we feel we have to do something with schools closed, but I can't see this online thing working on a meaningful scale. It's just not practical. There are way too many uncontrollable factors. What do you say to that?
Okay, there are things that we will never be able to control. We cannot control, at this point in time, we cannot control the fact that there are students without devices because for the most part, students are out without devices because their parents cannot afford it. I even had one student who had a device and in her trying to be kind and let another student use it who's in secondary school, the device seems to have crashed. Now, I know that the tech companies have been allowed to be opened, but the thing is that sustainably we cannot control that at this point in time. I know that there is a plan. There's supposed to be a plan where once we have the all clear given, where we can have a little bit more freedom of movement, that devices from the schools will be distributed to teachers, because that's something that I didn't mention before. There are some teachers who don't have devices. Mm-hmm. So we realize the fact that everything cannot be perfect, but I do realize the fact that I have students whose mothers are nurses, whose parents are working on the front lines, who really would like that if they have to leave them at home with granny, that there is something for the child to do. At no point are we hoping to be really introducing new content to the children, but rather reinforce what has already been taught. So it wouldn't be a case where if a child does not log on, the child is necessarily missing out on something new being taught. But unfortunately, at this point in time, we can only deal with the factors that we can control. And at this point, teachers can produce something to entertain, enlighten, maybe even just distract students. So that's all I can say. I do think it can be meaningful. It will not be as meaningful as us being in classroom because that's what we're accustomed to. But we have no idea how long we're going to be sequestered. So therefore, what we really need to do is to try to make some sort of inroads towards progress.
All right, so that sounds pretty interesting. I think that we really have a long way to go, and we really need to analyze each step before we take it. This one says, blessed morning, Corey. Thanks for the salute. But as your guest was now saying, this online form of teaching will impact on a lot of children who are less fortunate. What I would like to know is if the government has some sort of system in place to help them get through it. As a teacher and someone who would have been part of the meetings and discussions and information, I know they said earlier about, and then you repeated it, in terms of doing the reinforcement as opposed to new material.
Yeah.
Is there a plan beyond that at this stage?
Well, I can't really speak to policy because that's really not in my lane. And I know you told us to move out of our lanes, but I'm really not going that far.
Right, don't go too far.
Right, because you're not even offering me the little bit for the extra titles that you gave me.
The pay a little increase insurance premium.
No, not even a little increase. But what I will say is that I think I can say this because the Our minister actually alluded to it in one of her briefings, where they're actually looking at producing content to possibly be aired on the radio and or television for to supplement those students who may have to share devices and those who do not have a device. So there are things being put in train. I can't speak to how far it is, if it's actually a goal or anything like that, but I do know that there are people who are thinking and are trying to brainstorm to see what we can do for our students.
All right, so let's open up the telephone lines and get some of our listeners in on this conversation on this Brass Tax Sunday as we look at adjusting in the face of COVID-19, adjusting to the new norm. You give us a call at 434-1790. Of course, we have Selena Dodson on and Stacia Burrows, and you can answer your questions and get your tips when we come back on this edition of Brass Tax, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
For building surprise, big or small, at Williams Metals, we have it all. Angles, flats, cement and doors, lumber, windows and much, much more.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Big or small, at Williams Metals, we have it all. At Williams Metals, we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to our first caller. You're on the air.
Hello,